individualism, ingenuity, and inventiveness, the culture of enterprise, have dominated Western civilization. We exalted an economic system based on private gain. Our blind belief in this system has inspired war against alternative economic systems all over the world. This belief is akin to religious fanaticism based on unexamined ideology. Countless courageous opponents have been murdered. But it's worse than that. Karl Polanyi showed us the inherent fatal flaw of capitalism. It destroys the basic factors of production. The basic factors are nature, or ecological systems, people, both the individual and social well-being of people, and capital, both manufactured and financial capital. It destroys these factors of production by treating them as commodities, always available for sale at a price determined by markets. Land, labor, and money are not true commodities, as they are not produced by people. Rather, they are the components of life's material necessities, intertwined with social and spiritual values. Evidence of the destruction of these components of life's material necessities is widespread in the 21st century. Destructive runaway climate change, oil gushing from the ocean from so-called accidents, land productivity depleted through over-intensive agriculture, dying oceans, millions of people suffering malnutrition and preventable disease, perfectly usable infrastructure destroyed to facilitate private money-making, and people's homes, savings, and livelihoods wiped out by instability of the money system. For the past two centuries, the total value of trade in goods and services has been spiraling. A necessity for economic growth has become conventional wisdom. We're all led by everything around us to believe in the necessity for economic growth. But the logical conclusion of never-ending growth is increasing scarcity and over-exploitation of people and natural resources. A growth economy is unsustainable. The economic policies of governments and private enterprise, for example, the policies relating to debt, have been predicated on anticipated growth. Because of this, our system is highly stressed when growth does not occur. The capitalist theory of trickle-down has not proved accurate. The trickle-down theory says that economic growth and the actions of entrepreneurs in their own self-interest will eventually benefit everybody. Most of us think our complicated economics is better left to economists. We accept their recommendation for unfettered competition and minimal government interference, even though governments have had to intervene dramatically and often over the last 150 years to prevent destruction of livelihoods and capital. Economically disadvantaged people who suffered the worst effects of competition had to be rescued by government-operated and government-sponsored programs like taxation of the wealthy, regulation of industry, international trade tariffs, and so on. These programs were a feature of the mid-20th century. But over the last 30 years, the most wealthy and powerful people in the world have rekindled an ideology that was enormously destructive before trade unions and social policymakers made substantial gains for ordinary people. Many governments have been convinced or forced to deregulate industry, privatize public services, engage in free trade, forcing local producers to compete with distant larger ones, and to cut back or discontinue social services that eliminate the worst poverty. The rich are amassing immoral amounts of wealth, and most people are becoming poorer. People are suffering, especially where they produce goods for rich, distant countries without first meeting their own needs. And the destruction of the natural environment is not accounted as a cost. It gets worse. The Stockholm International Peace Research Institute estimates global military expenditures totaled about $1.62 trillion in 2010, 43% of that by the United States. This is at least 54 times as much as the world spends annually on the United Nations and all of its agencies and funds. What if those resources were focused on positive and moral pursuits like creating beauty, educating children to meaningful lives, and making a just society? It gets still worse. During World War II, Canada, Britain, France, the United States collaborated to develop nuclear weapons. Mass destruction on a previously inconceivable scale. Today, many countries see their security in developing and having at the ready nuclear weapons because they're perceived enemies of nuclear weapons. Many of these countries have gained access to nuclear weapons through nuclear power generators that supply the plutonium that they use for making bombs. Nuclear power for electricity arose from weapons development, and it's heavily subsidized by taxpayers. This industry has never been adequately researched with respect to its impacts on the environment and on those living next to the power plants and the uranium mines. Even the known costs and hazards have not been openly disclosed. Huge private corporations profit from this industry, while the public and the environment assume the risk of accidents, spills, adverse health effects, and environmental degradation. There is no known safe disposal method for the highly radioactive and chemically toxic wastes being generated by all aspects of the nuclear industry. They will be a danger to natural systems forever. Leaving a legacy of radioactive nuclear wastes to all future generations of life on this planet, to my mind, is the height of immorality. On the radio, I heard Dr. Charles Hayter, a radiation oncologist who wrote the book, the play called El Dorado Town, the Port Hope play. He was talking about pollution from radioactivity and injuries to the landscapes and the people around Port Hope, Ontario. And the interviewer asked him, did anyone know about these dangers in the 1950s? And his answer was, yes, but the scientific and public enthusiasm for the nuclear industry allowed everyone to ignore it. Our enthusiasm for the culture of enterprise. We have a blind belief in continuous technological development for an easier life because we have adopted these values. Our desire for wealth, unlimited energy, cure for disease, etc., interferes with our ability to see the destructive aspects of our so-called development. To be sustainable, the values and lifestyle of modern society must change, along with economic theory and practice. Unfortunately, the last 50 years or so has seen the rest of the world changing to emulate Western wasteful consumption. Our economy has created a population that's largely uninterested in the threats to our planet. They're too complicated or too depressing. Instead of trying to fix things, we spend a lot of time collecting thousands of tunes on our iPods, imbibing alcohol while watching television, driving our cars, taking vacations abroad, and surfing the internet for cute pictures and funny stories and bargains. Much of our public education focuses on giving youth tools to get a job and avoids teaching how to participate in society as informed citizens. Civics courses have been discontinued to avoid confrontations over politics and values. Students can graduate from high school without knowing how our so-called democratic system of government works. We are told it's important to vote, but we're not encouraged to understand the issues or the ideologies of the candidates. A huge proportion of citizens choose not to vote, and the majority of those that do vote are uninformed about the most important issues. Democratic principles and practices are disappearing because the citizenry doesn't understand democracy or care about it. The mainstream press is controlled by a relatively small, wealthy elite. They suppress critique of the immoral system while pushing economic growth and private rather than public ownership. The public hears little challenge to their agenda and has few means to critically evaluate it. We use the word work to refer to what one does for money, and it bears little relation to whether the work is meaningful, productive, or necessary to the well-being of either society or the working individual. If we counted all the work of raising children, caring for families, volunteering in the community, we would find that people are not paid for the majority of meaningful, productive, and necessary work. The 1995 Gender and Human Development Report of the United Nations Development Program estimated the value of unpaid work worldwide to be $16 trillion. More than half the world's total output is unpaid. Of this, $16 trillion, $11 trillion was women's unpaid work. Confusion between paid employment and work indicates how our thinking is structured by the values of enterprise and capitalist economics. This confusion undermines the self-esteem of those who work without pay, decreasing their ability to meaningfully participate as responsible citizens. The future of humanity and many other species looks bleak. Famine, resource depletion, and climate change will cause widespread fear and wars over scarce resources. We can't solve the problems while our collective psyche still believes in the riches promised by the profit-driven market system. Some people are thinking about the necessary changes.